experiences and colonial experiences, to be quite honest, of this domination of their bodies and of their selves as individuals. They're like objectified and reduced. And yeah, I think that is part of what may contribute to this mm-hmm. stereotype and sexualization.
So all this history now is bundled up into this stereotype, which is this Western media stereotype of, you know, the feminine, submissive, Eastern, like, Asian woman. And some of the traits that usually this we can see this in, you know, film, pornography, pop culture, advertising, and all these traits with Asian women that were associated with being, you know, gentle, they're quiet, they're submissive, you know, they're feminine, and they look young, like, they're family oriented also. And another one, they are exotic.
Yeah, that's a big one. I think I should have mentioned this a little bit earlier in the history section, but it's been quite a long time of artists, specifically European artists, who would incorporate a lot of, I guess, Asian styles and Japanese styles of art into their art. And, you know, that's, to a certain point, it is an appreciation, but it gets to be strange when, you know, the European artist, like, we're looking at another culture through their eyes, and women are kind of seen as these objects of art and beauty. And then when you're, I guess, I like displaying them in certain ways, that does tie into this fascination, this exoticism with Asian culture. And like, so many artists that I've read books about, at some point in their lives, they had like a phase where they're inspired by something Asian. And I think that goes for a lot of other parts, like in movies, etc. Like, just in our media, there has been this othering, but also this obsession with Asian culture.
Mm-hmm. I actually just somewhat recently watched Lost in Translation. And this kind of reminded me of this idea where it's like, let's plunk these white people into Japan and incorporate them into the culture. Mm-hmm. And something feels a little off about it.
It is like such a debate though too, of like, why does it feel off? Are we like, are people being too sensitive nowadays? Or is it genuinely like a concern when we are like displaying people in certain ways?
Yeah. It's hard. It's difficult
to figure out.
It's
a hard line for sure.
And also another point to that too, I think a lot of the rise of Weijin, obsession, but of celebrities that are more worshipped, and these Weijin meetups that people are having of just meeting other Weijins. This is all kind of related. I was listening to Typically Tuesday with Leslie, and she was talking about Weijin people and this kind of reducing of Asian culture and whitewash. But that's a whole nother thing. But that also kind of reminded me of this acceptability of exoticness. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, you can't go too far, because then you're farthing away from white culture.
Yeah.
But you're just good. You're just exotic enough for us.
Yeah, and you'll never truly be seen as an equal either.
Yeah. Anyways, these are all kind of the stereotypes that are associated with Asian women. And even though they're stereotypes, and a lot of people don't just want to date someone just because it's like, no, people don't say, like, guys specifically don't be like, oh, I want to date her because she's submissive and she is family oriented.
Some might
directly say, which mm-hmm. we also have another section on yellow fever, but most people will not generally just outright say these things. But these cultural projections and these stereotypes will somewhat always be subconsciously in us and shape attraction. So
definitely.
One also other point I wanted to mention with how white men find Asian woman appealing is with this film called Seeking Asian Female by the Chinese American filmmaker Debbie Lum. And she interviewed non-Asian men who posted personal ads exclusively seeking Asian women. And they found what was appealing included having long black hair, emphasis on the long, because that's associated with traditional femininity. Having a quote-unquote mysterious appearance with dark eyes and almond eyelids, and very subtly quietness to them. And she characterized this as an obsession with finding someone who is, quote unquote, submissive, traditional, docile, the perfect wife who is not going to talk back.
Yikes.
Yeah.
And there is also the other side of, like, why, that I'm curious about is, like, why Asian men or Asian women choose white men. And I feel like whiteness is very central in our world, and it is very pedestalized, because that is, like, the ultimate form of privilege, basically, when we're talking about a lot of different aspects of living your life. Like, that is kind of a way to gain more privilege, is by, like, being with someone white, perhaps, although you don't necessarily, like, directly experience that, but just by being close, you might feel more protected in a way. Or yeah, I'm not totally sure, but I think there is something to say about why also Asian women are choosing white men specifically too. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, flipping the script, because especially, like, going into other countries, you do hear reports of, there's, I think, I don't want to say, like, white, like, acceptability of white men versus someone who is another ethnic, another race, another culture, from another culture. And that's that. Yeah, we didn't touch more into that, but that is definitely very linked into this other way for how people perceive each other. And if we go back into this trend of, you know, Asian man, white female, relationships, that theirs is way lower on the other hand. So obviously there's something going on with both ends.
Yeah, like, both of each partners are, like, choosing one another, and obviously there are power dynamics involved, like, nobody can deny that. But there is, you know, choices most of the time being made by Asian women to have white men as partners too, which I just wanted to think about. And I know that Asian men are very like, what's the word, I guess, in our culture, like, Asian men are kind of looked down upon in some ways, which might influence the psyche of, like, Asian women themselves too when they're choosing their partners. But a lot of this is just speculation. Like, it's hard, you know, when studies don't necessarily directly look at this, but when there's systemic factors at play, at least.
I'm trying to condense all this into something more digestible. But I think before we go on, we should take a quick break and play a song.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah. That's a nice idea. Yeah, let's take a little break.
We're going to take a break. So this next one is DJ Star pick.
Yeah, it's called Just a One Scene by Uami from her EP composition Baby Exercise Book 5. She's good. I love this song.
Enjoy.
Atención.
Nunca Estéreo. Domingos, 6 a 8 p.m. 90.1 CJSF
Radio.
CJSF
90.1 FM.
Chango.
90.1 FM. Yuca Estéreo.
Atención.
Are you interested in a more holistic approach to women's health? Lilac and Leaf is a virtual women's health clinic serving the Greater Vancouver region, bringing together mental health, nutrition, and well-being. Alongside our team of specialized counselors and dietitians, Lilac and Leaf offers access to discover community-made wellness products and opportunities to take educational workshops led by local health and wellness professionals. Learn more at lilacandleaf.ca.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Oops.
No one heard that. This is CJSF 90.1 FM. Burnaby. Sorry, I'm Where just like, I am just faded out today. Anyways, you are tuning into Slumber Party. I'm DJ Coco.
And I'm DJ Star.
That last song you just heard was Lobster Telephone by Peggy Guo, South Korean DJ, producer. Love Peggy Guo.
She's good.
She's very good. I wish she would come to Vancouver at some point, but we can only hope.
She actually did.
What?
Yeah, I think it was like 2 weeks ago or something.
Are you? There's no way.
Yeah.
Okay.
She did.
Well, that's terrible. I think I have Apple Music, and I don't get updates on when bands come.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Oh, no, it was in May, so it was a while ago. Anyway,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe she'll come back.
Back to our topic. If you've been listening for the past hour, we've been chatting about specifically white men and obsession and just general Western obsession with Asian culture and Japanese women. And attraction to Asian women, Japanese, and specifically Japanese women. So we're just going to finish up that conversation around now. And starting off with, you know, sure, it's fine to like a culture and like everything about it, you know, like the woman in the culture. But there's a point where it gets harmful. And that's the part that we also wanted to stress on, which... It's called yellow fever. You've probably heard of it. And it sounds harmless, you know. And
it does not sound harmless. Yellow fever.
We're talking about not the actual biological disease, but we're talking about, you know, this obsession. And definition-wise, it's attraction that is explicitly racialized and fetishized for Asian people, and this usually refers to, you know, East or Southeast Asian women.
Mm-hmm.
So these are typically white men, but men who only date and seek for Asian women, and it gets to a point where they're just basing it off stereotypes, and it can get to a point where they're exoticizing this person and thinking of them more like an object than an actual person. So to kind of preface more about that, if we go into the signs of someone with yellow fever, for example, so this
symptoms.
Yeah, it's like the symptoms of yellow fever. Is my mic? One sec. Okay. With the yellow fever, so if you hear, for example, someone's like, you know, I want a Japanese girlfriend because Japanese girls are more respectful and innocent.
Yeah, and I just want to highlight quickly that this obsession with innocence, especially when it's associated with Asian women, but I think some men value it in women, is that it's very infantilizing and borderline pedophilic. There's a certain amount of like purity culture involved when people want an innocent woman and desire someone who is kind of untouched in many ways. I don't know why I phrased it like that.
Untouched. We're on radio.
Anyways. I think it's weird. I just want to say I think it's weird. And it's slightly rooted in some pedophilic beauty standards and expectations of women that are quite common.
Yeah. I think that with this innocence part as well, is that, yeah, Asian women are seen as more innocent, and I think it's associated with being modest and less promiscuous, but I don't think that someone, like, innocence should be a value for someone personally, because it's like, I think the idea of someone being innocent is desired because it means they won't be promiscuous, but I don't believe those are correlated. Like,
yeah,
just because someone's innocent doesn't mean they're instantly not going to cheat on you, for example.
Yeah, I think it's because they're easier to control as well if they're seen as innocent. There's like, you know, they don't know as much about what might be right or wrong as well. So that might be part of it.
Yeah. So essentially this person is, you know, exoticizing their culture and these stereotypes and projecting it onto a woman. And, you know, saying things like, I connect better with Asian girls because they're more family oriented, you know, and then comparing them to Western women, so saying that Western women are too independent for me.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that is not representative of every woman you meet in Japan.
No, it's just homogenizing and generalizing about an entire culture, taking away each person within that country or within that culture's identity and autonomy by being like, oh yeah, all Asian women are innocent and submissive. Like, that's what stereotypes do. That's why they're harmful as well.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we've talked about a lot about, you know, how this is fetishized, and but we haven't really talked that much about like what are actually some outcomes of that. And I just want to touch on that because I feel like it's really important, instead of just talking only abstractly but also applying it to the outcomes in real life. Asian women are like the most trafficked group worldwide, and also reducing Asian women to these kinds of like othering erotic objects, basically, that are submissive and compliant. I think we can all deduce what kind of consequences can be there when you only see a group of people as an object in some way, shape, or form through fetishization and just general objectification as well. And it also, I've seen or read experiences of Asian women being shamed for voicing their opinions or standing up for themselves because they do not fit in with the stereotype of Asian women being submissive or compliant. So they face like also this type of discrimination when they step outside the stereotype as well. And when they're within the stereotype, you know, obedient and submissive is not going to be the best for their own well-being a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It takes all this, you know, harmless preferences, very deep preferences for a woman, into something that's, you know, not very good for Asian women, or society as a whole, to be doing these kind of things. And with that aside, we also, there's obviously a big scale of attraction for people, and that have someone with yellow fever is the very extreme end of being attracted to Asian women. But there's this whole gray area that is the question that I keep thinking of, is that a lot of, there's still, like, even right now, I just hear a lot of white men specifically who are genuinely attracted to Asian women, but they don't mention any of these stereotypes about them. And, you know, they're not saying that they're attracted to specific Asian features, but just saying that they feel more drawn to Asian women, but just have no explainable reason.
Yeah, I think it is in the collective subconscious to an extent.
Yeah.
Internalizing these stereotypes and attributes of Asian women that may or may not be true, but still leads them to pursue these types of people and relationships.
Yeah. And it can be sincere, like, definitely sincere. Like, a lot of people are just, they're not thinking about all these factors or anything. But it's when many, many, many thousands of guys are showing these similar patterns, there has to be some sort of broader social factors, which you've been trying to get at, that talk about this. So that one statistic still kills me, that there's three times more relationships for white men and Asian women than the other way around, than Asian men and white female. Obviously, there's other factors involved in this, but a threefold times
ratio,
yeah, of the relationship, there's something going on here.
Yeah, and we have outlined a lot of aspects as to why that may happen. Obviously, it's not a comprehensive list. We could have gone so much more into the history as well that I think has fueled this, with colonialism and with imperialism, but
I think we should just give a brief.
We have an hour, so we're doing the best we can. We also have like 5 minutes left.
Trying to condense this.
Perhaps we should wrap it up a little bit. But yeah, final answer. It looks like it's too complicated to say one specific thing.
We can get, we'll just say that there's a lot of factors at play. There's things like we've talked about, you know, the social the history behind maybe these influencing factors, Maybe some sort of ancestor was really into it. That's kind of a stretch. let me bring it back.
One analogy. Let's just throw it out there.
But I want to say, you know, cultural stereotypes, family upbringing, social environment, mm-hmm. you know, purely aesthetic preference,
white supremacy, white male dominance. Hey.
Explicit racial fetish. Like, yeah. All these things, we cannot explain every single person's attraction, but there is some sort of broader trend that we've been trying to claw at and that people have been trying to claw at. And
it's a combination of the things that we mentioned along with exoticism.
Oh, yeah.
And Orientalism and things like that.
Cultural stereotypes as well, like having Asian women, Japanese women specifically, perceived as more feminine, more sexualized in media. Anime, specifically anime. Want to mention the anime. Asian woman looking more youthful on average, which goes into all this whole realm of how men prefer younger looking women on average. This could be biological factors, cultural factors, but that's another thing as well.
Yeah, the objectification of women, seeing girlfriends as trophies and for the approval of other men. We have so many other things to say.
And
about
one
this.
More. Exoticism. Holy crap. Holy cow.
Kind of.
And just people who want, not that they're looking to, but some people maybe have some sort of superiority or complex that they like things that are different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, instead of being a white man in a white female relationship, you could be a white man and some other race woman. Some of these are stretches. These are just theories, but they can all contribute to this whole topic that we've been getting at.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's it for us today.
That's it. As usual, the answer is we don't know.
No. The answer is we know. We can't say that there's only one answer, though.
Yeah.
The answer is never black and white or just one specific thing. But I think there are some aspects that are stronger, that play into it more, like colonialism. Anyway.
Yeah. I was having some fun reading about the history.
Yeah. I fell into way too many Reddit threads that were so problematic.
Yeah. Same.
Also researching this.
And Quora, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to also have to... I want to return to this conversation as well, because I should have mentioned at the beginning, but I am a product of this conversation, mm-hmm. because I am half... My dad is a white guy. My mom is Korean woman. And here I am. Mm-hmm. Why was this relationship happen? Why was my mom attracted to white guys? Why is she normally attracted to just white guys? I don't know. I'll have to talk to her about that.
Yeah, get back to listeners.
But that also was an influence, because she's mentioned that to me before, that she can tell when a certain type of white guy likes Asian woman, which I will never experience because I am not Asian, look Asian to others at first glance. So to hear that from an Asian woman is very interesting, and maybe something to touch upon later on.
Mm-hmm. Really great conversation.
Yes. So
talking about it.
That is pretty much it for today. Hopefully maybe you learned a little something. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can think about things, counter argument, whatever, all of the above. But thank you so much for tuning in today.
Yeah. Up next is Lynn's open mic. I think it's the final open mic for a while. So
yeah.
Definitely stay tuned for that. And then Connor's show, Bitcoover, at 8 p.m.
So, yeah. Two awesome shows. What should we do next week? Do you think?
Ooh,
continuation?
Brainstorming on air. I don't know. It's my turn to choose a topic next week.
Yeah, so. It's been your turn. It has been your turn.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Me in front of all of our listeners.
I'm kidding. I'm
it
just
has been my
filling
turn.
Up like 20 seconds until our outro.
By blaming me.
But
wow.
Yeah, thank you again for all listening. We don't really have a final song. We're just going to say our goodbyes. But yeah, we will see you next week.
Next week, 6 to 7 p.m. We'll be here. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.